Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezevic, Nick Kieser with you. Usually at 9:45 on Thursdays, we chat with Greg Wyshynski of ESPN, but he joins us now. Greg, what's up? How you doing?
What's up? Yeah, I was shipping down from Boston to Bristol after last night's game. We got our show, The Drop, tonight in the Anarta Ocala at 6:30 Eastern. So it's been fun, man. I was in Boston for the first two games, and what felt like a coronation in Beantown all of a sudden has a little bit of intrigue to it. That's exciting.
It does, and I'll be honest with you, that was my surprise of the evening, because somebody asked me, hey, what are your thoughts on the games tonight? And I was like, I like Carolina. I love Boston. Give me Dallas all day. Give me Edmonton all day. And I mean, obviously Carolina needed overtime to get the win, but the Florida Panthers surprised me last night. Had a little oomph in them.
Yeah, no kid. Yeah, the Carolina one wasn't a surprise, because that every game in that series is going to be like a one goal game that goes to overtime, or so it feels. But you know, the Boston game is interesting, because if you ask the Bruins, there were some problems in their game in Game One where they allowed the Panthers to carry play at times, and then in Game Two, they just didn't seem like themselves. I mean, their coach Jim Montgomery last night said they were trying to force things too much offensively. The turnover situation for them last night was completely out of whack from what you'd expect from Boston in the regular season. They had 15 turnovers last night, many of them, as their coach said, catastrophic, which I don't know if that's a Panthers reference or not, but it was a pretty good line. So the Florida goes back home now 1-1. And with a little bit of momentum, they got to feel pretty good about their game, and especially feeling good about getting Sam Bennett back in their lineup, a guy that plays the type of north-south go-to-the-net game that you need to play against Boston, and he scored a real big first goal for them.
Greg Wyshynski is with us from ESPN. Now, I did think this last night when I – because the game that I was really looking forward to was going to be Dallas and Minnesota, because I just knew that was going to be a physical one. But what in the blue hell was Dean Evason thinking by going to Fleury?
Man, you know, I didn't get to see what his ultimate justification was. I know before the game there was some thought about maybe they wanted to give Gustafson a little bit of a breather after playing double overtime. Obviously, it's his first playoff run as a starter. They've platooned their goalies all season, so there's some justification for that. But, you know, Fleury's not Fleury anymore, and clearly the Stars had a mission last night, which is to prove that they are still a viable offensive team without Joe Pavelski in the lineup, and I think they proved the case pretty emphatically last night. Listen, the good news, obviously, is that they can come back with the kid in Minnesota in a 1-1 series and feel pretty confident that they know what they're going to get out of him. But they could have really put the screws to the Dallas Stars by going up 2-0 in that series, and the goaltending call contributed to the loss last night.
Greg Wyshynski from ESPN is on with us. Greg, yeah, Tampa takes the first game against the Maple Leafs. What is going to happen to the city of Toronto if they don't come out of this first round?
Well, I mean, the good news is that they're used to it, right? So they know how to handle all of it.
A little too used to it.
But it is different. I mean, you know, the fact of the matter is that this was the first time in this stretch of years for Toronto, the first time in a long time where they were the heavy favorite going into the series. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody, look at the ESPN prognostications. Most people were on the Maple Leafs. I think that was the same case for a lot of places. They were favored in Vegas in the series. And there was a notion that, you know, the Tampa Bay Lightning were going to be the victims of lineup attrition, having lost so many key players from their cup wins to the team that they have now. Now, what's interesting is that attrition theory could still prove out to be true depending on what happened with their defense corps. You know, they lost Eric Chernak. They lost Essaman. Hedman's questionable for Game 2. You could be down half your blue line in the second game of the series, and all of a sudden that could really change the complexion of things. And it makes you wonder what life would be like if Hedman goes down, but you still have Ryan McDonough. So the idea that this ain't the same Lightning could still play out in this series. But for one game, they were the same Lightning. It was Point and Kucherov and Vasilevskiy, mm-hmm. and the Leafs being haunted by their playoff demons once again.
So I said this yesterday, and I want to know if you agree with me or not, but I said to Michelle, look, if Toronto somehow loses this series, and I don't know, you know, I didn't know going into it if that meant Sheldon Keefe was fighting for his job or not, but Toronto fans are going to be pissed off at the Predators for hiring Barry Trotz to be the general manager, because I bet you that would have been the hot name for Toronto.
It might have been. Who knows if he wants to go there and put himself through that. I mean, they clearly would compensate him for it. But if the Leafs go out and won, it is total regime change. And it could go all the way up to Brendan Shanahan, the team president. Like, one of the biggest, buzziest things happening in NHL circles right now is the notion that Kyle Dubas, the current general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, could end up in one of the two open positions with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Mm. I think that's very much a, hey, the Fenway Group once hired Theo Epstein to fix the Red Sox, so logically they'd hire Kyle Dubas to fix the Leafs. That, you know, boy genius kind of thing. So we'll see what happens there. But clearly, if the Leafs don't make it out, Dubas doesn't have a contract beyond this season. You'd expect there to be massive changes behind the scenes in trying to once again figure out what went wrong, and that's good fodder for the Toronto media for at least the next several months.
And all of us hockey media, fodder for everybody. Greg Wyshynski from ESPN on with us. Greg, I know we touched on the Maple Leafs and their organization, but what other, whether it be a coach or a team, do you think has the most pressure on them heading into, or just in the playoffs in general, to be somewhat successful, you know, make it out of the first round, make a deep run?
There's two. One is Edmonton, who got a desperate win last night against the Los Angeles Kings. Played really good defensively in the first period, then did what they do, which is allow the Kings to find life in the second and then close the deal in the third. So they've got to be feeling at least a little bit better about themselves, although Connor McDavid going two games without a goal is a little bit disconcerting. The other one is the Boston Bruins, which sounds crazy, you know, because they were a record-breaking team in the regular season. But having spent a few days in Boston, I can tell you there's a special kind of pressure that comes with being this team, because you are either going to wire the field and win the Stanley Cup and go down as perhaps the greatest team in NHL history for a single season, or you're going to end up like a footnote like the Lightning when they lost to the Blue Jackets, or a footnote like the New England Patriots when they went 16-0 and then lost in the Super Bowl. So it's a very unique pressure on the team that is the hunted. And I think the Boston Bruins, based on these first two games, are certainly feeling it.
Greg Wyshynski joining us now. Are you going to be in Jersey tonight for game two?
Well, we're doing our show from the studios in Bristol, so I will not in Jersey for game two, but I will be there for games three and four at the Garden. I will also be there for games three and four at UBS for the Islanders and Carolina. I imagine those two series will be quite different when experiencing them in person. But it's going to be a blast. The big story tonight with Jersey and the Rangers, obviously, is whether or not the Devils are all grossed up, whether or not they're going to be over their game one jitters. You had a bunch of guys playing their first game. I thought the best line of the week came from Lindy Ruff after that loss, where he said, well, the good news is that now everybody has played a playoff game. the key to the Devils in this series, my first key when I wrote about this was, are they going to freak out when they realize that a lot of their regular season tricks don't work in the playoffs? They did in game one, and now it's going to be interesting to see how they adjust, how they modulate their game, how they try to figure out ways to play with the speed and the electricity that they played in the regular season, because you could tell they just didn't have a solution for what the Rangers decided to throw at them in game one.
What's kind of your read on Seattle and Colorado? Because I think I was a little surprised that Seattle took game one. Obviously, we talked about the man that will go down as the first playoff goal scorer in Seattle Kraken history, Elli Tolvanen. Mm-hmm. But what's kind of your thoughts on that series?
Really surprising in the sense that the Kraken had been trending in the wrong direction, both offensively and with their goaltending towards the end of the season. And yet, you know, their offense looked really good against Colorado, and Philip Grubauer began his revenge tour with a pretty strong effort. I did find it really interesting when Nathan MacKinnon was asked after game one if he had any thoughts about the game that Grubauer played, and he said he had nothing, just left it at that, which is a real emo MacKinnon moment, but also maybe some fodder for Grubauer for game two. Seattle's deep, and they can beat you in a number of different ways, And they showed that depth in that game against Colorado, an Avalanche team that is still trying to recover, I think, from some personnel losses last offseason and then losing Gabe Landeskog for the playoffs. So I don't think the Avalanche are in trouble. I think when you have MacKinnon and Rantanen doing what they did in game one, and they have Makar probably needing a game under his belt before he starts to really kind of cook again because he's been out with an injury for a while, they should be okay. But the Kraken showed the game plan and the recipe for potential upset in that series, and it wouldn't be out of the question now.
Well, it's fun already, and I know it's just going to get even better. But appreciate the time as always. Enjoy Bristol, and we will talk to you next week.
Thanks,
anytime.
Greg.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Greg.
Take care.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, joins us every week, usually at 9:45, as these playoffs have certainly been entertaining to this point. And I'm just patting myself on the back with Edmonton and Dallas last night. I felt pretty good about both of those going the way that they did. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed, too, I've talked to a few Preds fans that I feel like they're all in on Edmonton.
Oh, you got to root for Matthias Ekholm. And also,
Ecky,
if you are any sort of sports fan, to see, I know he hasn't scored a goal yet, but Connor McDavid, we need to see more playoff hockey from him, and they need to get in the next round. And,
well,
I mean, he's...
He set up Dreisaitl's goal last
yes.
night. I mean, that was just gorgeous.
Yeah.
That whole
so,
sequence.
I am rooting to see more of him, and of course, you got to root for Matthias Ekholm.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, like, Dreisaitl, you know, once again, had a great game with 3 points. I think mm-hmm. it was 3 points. But he set up Derek Ryan's first goal with a nice one, and then McDavid on the power play. I mean, that power play is just lights out to
lethal.
Watch.
Lethal.
Yeah, so tonight, you know, all eyes will be on Tampa and Toronto and the Rangers and Devils, and then got Seattle, Colorado, and then Winnipeg and Vegas will round things out. Tonight, weird. It's on TBS, but that on TBS tonight, I guess, because the
there's
NBA.
There's just so
playoffs.
Much happening.
Yeah,
so much
going on. We'll give you a full preview of all of that and the NBA here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.